Okay, thanks. All right. Well, you know what? Maybe I'll just recite the names of everybody who's here just in case. So Dawn Henning, Laura Kahn, Kathy Fay, Sally Cruz, Jacqueline Holmes, Iris Kaminsky, Kristen Gordon, Jim Stacy, Jacob Robison, Alice Kozofsky, Florestine Taylor, Mary Woolsey, Laura Gillespie from The Independent, Alder Steve Winter, and Nancy Alexander. Okay, so thank you for starting the recording. And again, okay, so we will continue with our committees. Let's see, anyone got anything to say about AIR? Okay. Materials management, I have nothing yet to say, but we will discuss waste later in this meeting. Transportation, the only there's something for later in the meeting on transportation, but I don't know if anybody's been working on anything except electric school buses. Let's see. Soil, parks. I've had a number of inquiries about parks. Florestine, are you still working with the community builders? Did
Yeah.
you hear back from this lady?
No, she's the portfolio project manager for TCB for this region. Having worked at TCB for a number of years, I first contacted the local property manager, which she said she wasn't involved. She said, however, this person, Christine Anderson, has been involved with the city. And so I called her and I sent an email, but that was only about an hour and a half ago, so I haven't heard from her. And
Okay.
so the issue is, I let them know, about how we want parks and et cetera. What the issue was, why the opposition from the neighbors and citywide. And so she didn't elaborate on anything, but I'm waiting to hear from this person because she said that she has been in contact with someone from the city. So the issue is to find out who that person is that she's in
All
contact
right.
with, discussions with
Let's
from the city.
maybe Dawn can find that out. So the specific issue Florestine was trying to find out about was the park at the corner, the proposed community builders park at the corner of Chapel and Day Streets. We want to make sure that they don't chop down any more mature trees than they have to. And of course, we prefer that they not pave over any surface they don't have to, especially we don't want them to put either asphalt or a plastic surface on the playground where the kids are going to be, because plastic off gases and asphalt is hot. And so, Dawn, any idea who that would be?
I don't off the top of my head. I can see if I can chase that down.
Okay. Yeah, I'm wondering if we should take up these issues with Bill Caron at Parks. I'm thinking maybe would he be the person they contacted, except that
It would
he
have to
deals
go
with.
through him for removing any trees. So that, and then, with parks, he would probably be the appropriate person. Usually with playground surfaces, if there's a, an actual playground structure, it's either that rubber material or mulch. I think it's kind of the two allowable surfaces. It would not be asphalt. But the
Okay,
rest of the
so
park, I don't know. I mean, that's for under a, like a playground structure.
right. So the thing about the rubber is, I don't think it's rubber anymore. It's some kind of plastic.
That could, yeah, I don't know the
Yeah.
exact material.
And it's really sort of not good for kids to smell either the rubber or the plastic. The rubber has stuff like toluene in it, and the plastic has lots of nasty chemicals. So we don't want kids to be exposed to any more of that than necessary. Wood chips are ideal for underplay structures, I think. Although we all know there are problems with those because people leave stupid things like needles in them, which is not good, but that's another story. Okay, so maybe we'll, Florestine, maybe you and I will contact Bill Caron and see if we can talk to him about the layout of that park to make sure the trees will stay if possible, and the whatever, and the playground surface will be the best possible. All right, lights.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. We have a light issue. We'll talk about it in a minute. Noise. So I can report that the Quiet Communities organization is holding a forum on aviation noise and on June 16th. And if you want to go to it, I'm going to try right now and put the link in the chat. And you can register for it at their website. Again, that is Aviation Noise Forum, June 16th. Okay. Let's see. And Sochi, our newest member to be, said she would work on beautification because she's interested in that, but she's not here right now. So, and she's also not an official member until the Board of Alders votes to approve her and the mayor signs her into officialdom, but she will be. So stay tuned. And that's that. All right, so let's go on to city issues. So I see Rafael Ramos is not here, but he asked me for the link to the English Station remediation update. So I have been looking to make sure that United Illuminating continues to post updates, which they do. You can Google UI English Station and you will get to this webpage that lists all the work they're doing and planning on doing. And since I am not an engineer or an expert in remediation matters, I don't really understand the language they're using for what they're doing, but I do check from time to time to make sure there are updates. And I just checked recently and there was an update for what they did in April when I looked a week ago before I sent the agenda out for this meeting. So if anybody ever wants to delve into specifics of that, I think Aaron Good and Chris Ozick and some other people, Lynn Bonnet maybe, are following the specifics. I'm happy to make sure the updates are posted, but I don't understand all the writing on the webpage. I don't even understand whether all the stuff they're putting on there is stuff they plan to do or stuff they are in the process of doing. I do know that it just seemed to include one of the two sites, parcel B, I think. I don't think they've put any stuff up there about the other site, but if somebody knows anything about this and wants to check, that's fine with me. And if anybody has questions, I can take those to UI, to DEP, to the Attorney General's office if I don't get answers from UI or DEP. So don't hesitate to ask. But anyway, that's where we stand with that. Anybody have anything to say? Yes, Kathy. You're muted.
I apologize for being a little out of the agenda order, but in the reports in the initial reports, I'm not on the transportation committee for those of you who don't know, but there was something that came in just this afternoon that there are $500 million.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. I got that already. It's on the agenda at the bottom. We'll talk about it. Iris.
All right, great.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I'm not an expert on PCBs, but this is I looked into it. It's above our what our committee could do, and we met with the lawyers last year, the lawyers in Connecticut, and we really hope that they're doing a good job. This is really
met with DEP.
Yeah, but we met with lawyers from their lawyers. That are dealing directly with UI, right? It wasn't.
We got a letter from the lawyers.
Lawyers?
We didn't. The council did not meet with the lawyers. I met with the Attorney General's office lawyers.
Oh, okay. Well, I think this is the city really has to be alert to this issue, because it's real remediation with PCBs is really an expensive ordeal. So this is really, the city has to pay attention to this.
Okay. So, well, hopefully Rafael Ramos of the health department is doing that.
I guess another question, there was a student from Quinnipiac that did some research. Did you ever get any answer?
Yeah, the student from Quinnipiac took samples in the water next to English Station and didn't find any PCBs last summer. That was reported to the Mill River Watershed Association or whatever. I get mixed up with all these river things. Anybody else have anything to report about English Station? Okay, we will go on to Wheeler Street. So for all of those of you who endured the 8 hours over two meetings of the City Plan Commission of public testimony, and then the 3 hours of another meeting of the City Plan Commission at which they deliberated, it was kind of fascinating. And I think we got our point across after all these years of advocating for the neighbors and everybody else. What do you think, Kathy?
I'm sorry, I'm putting...
You're doing something else.
I'm putting things in the chat.
Sorry. Well, anyway, I don't know who else was there because I couldn't see who was there, but if anybody... Oh, Dawn was there, but Dawn is probably not allowed to say anything. Is that correct? Alder Winter, were you there?
I was not able to make it, no.
Okay. You know that the recordings, the video recordings, they're available online, and there's a transcript next to them, so you can always read through it really fast or listen to it really fast, whatever you prefer. But I think it is very interesting that the City Plan Commission realizes that they can't just look out for businesses, that they represent all of us. And they were very careful to look at the many perspectives of this issue. I do want to mention that one of the lawyers for Wheeler Street was boasting about their sky blue deodorizer, which is not an odor eliminator. It is a toxic odor masking chemical. And when they spray it, the whole area smells like a bus station bathroom. And yeah. And I don't know if you've ever been there when they've done it, but it's really unpleasant. And because this facility is located in a residential area and on a river, it is really not a good place for a facility like that to be in. But I do understand from Chris Ozick that between the first 4 hour meeting at which a lot of us testified, and thank you to those of you who did, and the following time meeting, they cleaned up a lot. They were obviously thinking nobody was watching them and they were going to get away with as many violations as they wanted to, and they realized that that was not going to fly. So Chris said they stopped doing some of the things that were the most egregious, like storing putrescible waste overnight that attracts gulls, and some other things, parking vehicles in the wrong places. And Chris took photos of fires he saw burning on Sundays next to the building. So I don't know what they were burning, but they have been put on notice. So I also offered that the Environmental Advisory Council would serve as an intermediary for neighbors' complaints so that the neighbors would not have to be afraid to speak up about things, because the lawyer, Megan Miles, for Wheeler Street keeps bragging that they've never had any violations. But the reason they've never had any violations is that people are afraid of them. And I can vouch for this personally because I was once, well, more than once, many times I've driven around to count vehicles going in and out of their facility. And on a hot summer day, I could smell garbage at how in front of houses up the hill. So I phoned DEP and emailed DEP and filed a complaint. And within 24 hours, I had a voicemail message from Jonathan Murray, the operator of this facility, on my answering machine. I still have it. I felt so threatened by DEP's having given my information, which of course is public anyway, but it just felt like I just felt very intimidated by that. And I can understand how neighbors do not want to speak out against neighbors. And so anyway, but because they only got a 2-year renewal for their operating permit instead of the normal 5-year renewal, I think this will make them be very cognizant of their behavior. Anybody, Kathy, go ahead.
Yeah, I apologize for not being able to speak earlier, but one of the really exciting things to me was that city plan staff had already come up with a list of stipulations that needed to be followed in order to receive this permit, but city plan decided to tack numerous other ones on there, and those other ones were all reflective of the community issues that members of this body and other community representatives had brought up at the various hearings. And I think that to me was extremely meaningful. And also there was a pretty long debate over how short should the, they all decided to truncate, from 5 years to a shorter amount of time. There was a bit of a debate about whether 1 year would be sufficient or whether they would need 2 years to meet these requirements and to show progress toward these requirements. And they settled on 2 years just because of people's business expertise and knowing that they might be able to develop a plan for some of these things, but actual measurable implementation would likely take a couple of years. Anyway, that's just my little bit of comment. It was long. I really just have to thank them so much. They worked so hard. You know, we could kind of zone out from time to time if we needed to, but they were on the whole time and in the other meetings as well.
Yes. Yes, they were. And we commend the City Plan Commission for their hard work and the City Plan Department for making sure all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed. It was 23 conditions that were put on this operating license. So 23 is a lot. And I think it shows the gravity of the issue that they didn't just rubber stamp it again. And now New Haven has stopped an expansion of the buildings at the facility and given them a 2-year operating permit instead of the usual 5-year. So this sends a message, I would say. So thank you for everybody who's stayed with us for so long. Anybody else have anything to say about Wheeler Street? Okay. So BirdSafe Buildings. Jacob, have you anything to report about that?
No, the last update with that would be the same as when you last talked to Laura Brown.
Okay, so it's not a priority. It's not being worked on yet.
Well, I mean, there is a lot going on within the planning department. As you can see, We have a lot on the regulatory side that we are working on right now. The Wheeler Street Station was just one issue among a large list of issues that we've been working on. And we've been operating for the last about 3 months down two staff. And we just hired one planner too, and we've really been having bad luck on hiring the second planner too. So we've kind of really been down staff for a while, but we're working on getting it back up. And once we get the second planner on, we'll assess what what our capabilities are.
Great. Well, I do have to say that the lawyer, Viveka Morris, who brought the Bird Safe Buildings issue to the Environmental Advisory Council, works for Yale, which it does not have a good record of sustainability about anything. So, you know, maybe they should examine their own practices before they dictate what the city does. But
hey, Laura?
Yes.
I have something to say on that. Yale's just launched a bird friendly building initiative, where they will be surveying all the buildings at Yale as well as in New Haven. They put a lot of money behind it. So I think Yale is moving on this issue. So it would be unfair to say that they are not doing anything about it at this point.
I didn't mean that Yale wasn't doing anything about bird safety. I know they have already instituted language for and measures for bird safe buildings. Those are the ones they shared with the city. It's just so many other things they are not doing sustainably. So I get it. They pick easy issues that are, you know, low hanging fruit, and they ignore the big stuff, like this huge plastic field behind my house and the plastic field on the Yale Bowl and the plastic field at the baseball stadium. And all of these plastic fields, they use pesticides and detergents on, and all of that gets into our water sources. So yeah, plus there are many other things, but anyway. Okay, so I would like to ask somebody if anyone at the city has inspected that roof garden in Flores above across the street from Florestine's building that her neighbor Jean Connolly is having a problem with, but I'm guessing that would be somebody who's not here. And the only I think maybe we should just write to the Environmental Advisory Council, maybe should write to the building manager and see what we can get out of them, because it's absurd for them not to try to light up at night. Sorry, what?
What is the location of that building that you're talking about?
On High Street. I don't know the exact numbers, but the front door is on, or is it on Crown?
It's High Street. High Street. I can't remember right now.
And I did talk with Gene Connolly. I knocked on his door a couple of times. Yale had their reunions, and so I know he was probably out over the weekends. And I knocked on his door again today, so I left a message for him to get in touch with me.
Okay,
yes, great. Gotten back to me.
Jim, so why are you asking?
I think it's a good idea to write a letter to the managers of the building and, you know, see what they have to say, because they're going to take the issue and give it to somebody who's on the site, likely, or who oversees their property, so.
Yeah. Jim, what is your take on it?
I wanted to go see what the problem is. I wanted to go and look at it, you know. So I'm not familiar with it.
18 High Street, they built a roof garden and put a very long strip light there, which shines into the apartments of people across the street in Florestine's building. And they don't turn the light off even late at night when they're not using the roof garden. And Jean Connolly, one of the neighbors into whose window the light shines, conferred with the building manager who refused to turn the light out. And New Haven has light ordinances about, you know, light pollution and trespass. And so I don't know if this is in violation of those, but Alder Steve Winter, tell us.
I don't know either, but I was just looking at the ordinance, and the ordinance says that a light plan must be submitted as part of any zoning approval. So in theory, this is something like the city plan department and the building department would look into. The Board of Alders, right now the city plan and building departments don't have a person who's tasked with enforcing zoning compliance on things that have already been built, but the Board of Alders approved a position in the building department for zoning compliance in the bill, and that's supposed to be, you know, they should be hiring for that in the new fiscal year, which would be starting in July. So thank it may you. Make sense to follow up later in the year and see if we can ask them to look into it.
Great, because this roof garden was built after we updated the ordinance about lights and signs. I know because I worked on that ordinance for a year, and so this did not exist when we did that. So thank you. Thank you, Steve. May we leave this with you, Jacob, or do we need to keep it on our front burner?
Do we know if LCI was reached out to?
I don't know, but okay. I don't know. Florestine, will you ask Jean?
Yeah, I don't know what I was planning to do later this evening if Jean contacts me, because I know him fairly well. He's a friendly guy. To come into his apartment, I want to see it for myself. You right. know,
okay.
It's pretty bad. He lives on the 17th floor. I live on the 5th floor. Great difference.
Right. So yes, if you could just ask him if he's contacted LCI. I think he did, but I can't remember. I'm losing track. I have so many issues I'm right. juggling. Thank you. I think whatever. Jacob, would you say that LCI would be the people who are supposed to deal with this right now? Is that why you're asking if LCI was contacted?
As you know, I'm fairly new to the city of New Haven, so I'm still trying to figure out what department handles what. They can and they can't do it. They could just decide that it's zoning's issue. They might say that to him. But it's a route worth exploring.
Okay. Well, I know they started doing it. So, okay. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would just like to know what their response is for this, okay. because we're trying to work out some sort of workflow that we know who is exactly as responsible at the city for this.
Right. Okay. Florestine, you took notes on this, and you'll confer with.
Yeah. I'll contact Jane later this evening, or whenever I get a hold to him tomorrow.
I missed. What is LCI?
Livable Cities Initiative. It's
okay,
the quality of life people who go out and investigate things like. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for all of this. So we will go on to the next issue, which is leaf blowers. So there is a second City Services and Environmental Policy Committee meeting tomorrow of the Board of Alders at City Hall at 6 p.m. This one's in person. The last one, March 3rd, was online, and we had about 30 people testifying and or submitting letters in support of limiting gas-powered leaf blowers. If you want to show up at City Hall tomorrow at 6 p.m., I encourage everybody to do that. If you don't want to show up or you can't. You can submit testimony before 2 p.m. to public testimony at newhavenct.gov. I put the email address in the chat box. Even if you just want to write a brief two-sentence letter, that's good. It doesn't have to be long. Just, you know, the noise bothers me, whatever. This is a big issue, and noise pollution is a huge problem that affects public health, and it's not being dealt with enough. And the reason the Board of Alders is having a second hearing about this, as Alder Winter told me, is that they received a letter from our neighbor, Michael Frawley, who owns Greater New Haven Landscaping. And he did get to testify at the last hearing, by the way, and complained that he hadn't had enough notice about the hearing, but there was plenty of notice about it. So he wrote a letter to the city, to the Board of Alders, asking for his own public hearing. And he teamed up with, hello, Adam, welcome. He teamed up with the Connecticut Groundskeepers Association, which is the Connecticut arm of a Washington lobbying group called the National Association of Professional Landscapers, and they lobby for things like pesticides and noisy lawn equipment. And anyway, we need to get people there, and we need to get the facts out, because these people are they need to revise their business model to make their work healthier for their employees and for the rest of us. And because, as you know, as most of you know, because the EPA doesn't allow anyone to do anything about air pollution, we are going at this from a noise perspective. I see Alder Winter, you have your hand up.
I'll be right back.
Thanks, Laura. I would just reiterate, if you can testify in person, please do come. I think it is really important that we continue to show folks really care about this. And if you can't make it, yes, even sending in a couple sentences is really helpful in terms of testimony. And there's a second item on the agenda tomorrow night that might be of interest to the council, which is a resolution authorizing the mayor to accept a grant to purchase an electric trash truck, the city's first electric trash truck, which is also an air quality and noise issue. You know, a lot of the noise from the trash trucks comes from their screeching brakes every time they have to lurch forward and stop. And the electric trucks have regenerative braking, so they're also much quieter.
Great. Okay. Wonderful. So while we're there, we may as well just stand up and say we're in favor of that too. So are we getting that electric trash truck? Oh, Dawn, didn't you tell me it was coming?
So we applied for a grant and we received the grant, and now we go to the board and ask permission to receive the grant.
I see. Okay, great. Well, thank you. We're excited to have an electric trash truck. Hello, Pat Dillon. We've been joined by Assembly Rep Pat Dillon. So I think we're now going to go out of order, since Pat probably is busy and has other things to do. If you want to give us a quick update on the legislative accomplishments of this past term, we'll be happy to hear it.
Thank you. I know you have a lengthy agenda, so it may be important, you know, really just to hit a couple of highlights out of courtesy to the other people who are going to be presenting, because you didn't expect me to be here, and I wasn't sure I could be here. But I guess the important thing is Senate Bill 120. We did save, but it had to be amended. That was the golf courses. I'm looking for the title.
It's the bill, the act to ban chlorpyrifos on golf courses.
Right. And the hand harvesting of horseshoe crabs was actually something that was really important to me. I followed the fish a lot. It's partly because I grew up on Long Island and I'm a little bit worried about what's happening in our waters. We're losing species. The horseshoe crabs, if you follow that, actually have a very important application in science in terms of retarding certain kinds of bacteria. But it died in the Senate, so we weren't able to do that. Last session, I really pushed oysters and nips. And the reason was the people in the industry appeared before us when I met with the Farm Bureau and told us they had lost 80% of their business when the restaurant shut down. And I realized that that they're much more fragile. They're so closely tied. It's not easily preserved the same way, let's for example, clams are. And so the oysters in New York had really been ravaged 100 years ago by the shipping industry, and they're rebuilding them. In Connecticut, it was not shipping. It was really pollution. So I have to say, I can't say enough good things about the Brian Hurlburt, the Commissioner of Agriculture. He was incredibly receptive to the issues I raised in environment about oysters. He's working with them to look at ways to recycle shells. I think everything is going to be very positive then. He's really... And Chris Murphy, which some of you may know, has acted on oysters in the Farm Bill to make sure that they're insured as a crop, just like wheat is. So that we made a lot of progress on that. On the bottle bill, I was really pushing nips because the machines that take the bottles for recycling do not accept nips. The industry didn't want to deal with it. The remedy they came up with was a surcharge on each nip bottle to give to the towns. And then that really wasn't what I considered a solution because you're not recycling them, but it bought some time. And I think the industry is realizing now that they may end up in a situation where there are people from other states that may bring their nips in here and the industry will be on the hook. So you might want to, and why not, right? If you're in Massachusetts or New York, bring in the nips. The nips are a really important point indicator, I think, to substance abuse. If you look at how, I got the numbers on how many nips were sold in different towns, and it was not clear that it always related to population. New Haven is way out of whack, but it's also true that, let's say, Manchester has more nips than Camden, which is the same population. So that information is helpful. For next year, what I would like to do is to push for a machine, though, that accepts nip bottles. I know people think there isn't enough money in it, but if they think that they are going to lose money by people from other towns, states coming in here, maybe we can get some action on that. So I think that could be really important. I've really focused a lot on fish and on air and water, especially water quality.
Go on.
I did follow the Wheeler Station discussion, and we might want to look at what kinds of uses are close to water. I think in some ways there's been some creep in terms of things that are sited near water and that can actually. Okay, I'm looking at a message here from Steve Winter. I shouldn't be reading and talking at the same time, but. I really think we should push on the nips, and we should, and if you can remind me, because I'm doing this at the kind of off the cuff, I don't have notes, is that we should be looking at what water, how far away from a water, a body of water, certain uses can be put. And I'd like to push on the NIPS as well. Another, which is, I didn't see on your agenda, but I want to direct your attention to, we did a bill in, and that is the removal of trees from the highways. We talk about climate change, and yet, no, we're pulling up perfectly healthy trees. We did legislation in the Environment Committee to restrict and set up a process so an arborist would have to look at a tree. We do not have any authority, however, over the transportation department. That would have to be taken up by the Transportation Committee. And I would be driving home at midnight at night, and it was like something out of science fiction, these enormous machines with, you know, bright lights lifting up these perfectly healthy mammoth trees. I'm told that the problem is that they're worried about liability if a tree falls on a car. But I think that should be looked at for next session. And I don't have any right to tell you what to do, of course, but I don't serve on the Transportation Committee. And I just wanted to flag that issue as something that could be very important. And I don't know if I've covered everything, but the final thing I wanted to mention is Supreme Court Watch. I think people understand that the Supreme Court is kind of radical, but I'm not sure they understand how radical it is. There is a case that's pending, which is concerning West Virginia, which they are not doing decisions this week, but I'm looking for the case. I think I wrote it somewhere. No, I didn't. It's a West Virginia case where they're challenging the authority of the EPA to control emissions. And if they're able to gut the authority of the federal EPA, one task, it seems, for us is for us to start looking at ways to insulate Connecticut's environmental department to make sure that we're not superseded in any way by any dramatic change, which would really be quite radical on the federal level. Anyway, I know I talked very fast. I hope I was helpful. And do you have any questions, or you can get back to me later?
I have a comment. Thank you for bringing that issue up to us. If you have any ideas of bills that we could help you get through the legislature that would insulate us from the Supreme Court decimating the EPA, we'll be happy to help. And also, I know I mentioned this just to you, I would like a state law regulating how close waste vehicles can be parked to water sources. Other people have suggested having them not be able to be parked too close to residences, but at the very least, I would like them not to be parked close to water sources. I think at Wheeler Street, they have a habit of parking vehicles right next to the river, and that worries me a lot. And it worries a lot of people a lot. Okay. So, good. So, Pat, you can see Alder Winter put in the chat what the city is going to do with that $78,000 you got for us. So thank you. A recycling coordinator would be good. Jim, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, just an anecdote. Many years ago, as a city environmental planner with the Norfolk, Virginia City Planning Department, for a year or so, I was the city's official observer for the state shellfish commission. And up until that point, I was living just a few blocks from the famous Ballard Oyster Company. And so for a party, you just walk over and get a big, nice gallon jug of fresh shelled oysters and kind of lay it out and stuff like that. After about a year of observing hearings and so forth on it, I stopped eating oysters and most inshore shellfish. And the reason was pretty clear that there are so many violations or exceptions or I guess unexplored pollution issues with filtering shellfish and other filtering organisms that I felt it wasn't my health interest to continue at all.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think we should look at that, but I assume you would put sea scallops in the same category.
Well, deep sea scallops, deep sea clams, less so.
Well,
inshore bay scallops would be more questionable.
Jim, you might go over to the New Haven Oyster Farm and take a tour and let them explain to you that they take the oysters far out into the deep water to filter them before they sell them. So
yeah, that's what we were told too in Virginia.
Yeah. Well, they do. I saw the boat going out last week when I was at a...
That's good. But again, after over a year and a half, there are so many unknowns. For example, oysters are supposedly great for men's vigor. Okay, why? Well, they've got a high load of zinc in them. Where does that zinc come from? Does anybody know here? Well, most big ships coming into the harbor and just about every other ship out there, including my sailboat, have zinc anodes on them to prevent the deterioration of the hull and other components from electrolysis. Those are zinc anodes that wear off and become part of the system. So it's inescapable in many ways.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm saying they may be doing the appropriate steps, okay, as that particular company, but we still have so many other questions about what's in that water.
I agree. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to say what's in the water has a lot to do with what's going on with, it's not clear why we're losing some of the fish. I did sponsor and push through a bill to protect certain forage fish, although that was not originally my bill. I think I can't remember who it came from, but some of those little bills can get lost. We seem to have lost winter flounder. I'm not quite sure whether the species are migrating just because of climate change, because now everybody says climate change to explain any unexplained phenomenon, and I want to make sure we know what's going on. But if you look at what's happened with the West River and the that now that it's flowing freely, we really have the opportunity, I think, to bring fish back. But we restricting the pesticides is really, really important. What we were looking at were pesticides that affect birds and fish. So sometimes it's hard to persuade people. They get their eyes glaze over a little bit, and they start to think you're a little bit of a fanatic. So I have to think about tactically about how we can make our case. We also did something on penalties for sea bass last year that a constituent of mine in the 26th Ward testified on that was very important to him. So fish isn't really what people always think about, and obviously it's connected to our water quality. And in New Haven, you know, it's very important because we're a downstream community. A lot of the stuff that we're having problems with comes from upstream. So
right.
I'm glad to hear that they're using those dollars for a recycling person. I don't necessarily want that to be an ongoing revenue stream. That was a quick fix to silence the NIP critics. And I think it would be better for us if we could figure out in the long term, it's that all of the other bottles, let's say, are this big and the nips are this big, and all you need to do is make a machine that takes nips. So that is a project for next year.
Okay, great. Thank you. Iris, I assume you're going to talk about pesticides and water.
Just real quickly, I wanted to tie together because of the hearing tomorrow about leaf blowers and their noise, and the noise annoys me a lot. But one of the things that I want to connect it, there's a lot of spills from when you fill your leaf blower or your lawn mower that uses fossil fuels. So we're coastal, and everything that we use and other coast cities, it adds to spills and to the impacts our water pollution. And apparently the spills, EPA did research 20 years ago, and it looks like it's pretty significant.
Yes, thank you.
It's because sometimes I feel like that it's not a real important issue, but it is now. And yeah, so I just want to point that out.
Thank you.
Iris, do you have the citation on that study?
It's from 1997 from EPA. Let me look it up. I have a citation, but I couldn't find the source of the research itself. I'll find it.
Okay, I'm putting my...
Laura knows how to find me.
My legislative mail there.
Thank you.
If you want to send it.
Okay.
So one more thing, Pat, that I hope Connecticut's General Assembly will work on is the extended producer responsibility for packaging. I know you tried this year. New York is working on it. I'm hoping we can get that addressed.
Sounds good. Yes.
Okay.
And I can't begin to tell you how important it is that you're doing the work that you do. I know you know that to a certain extent because you're passionate about what you take up. But it's really, really important. And if we can't rely on the government in Washington, even much more so to have little resistance groups here doing the work of pushing the issues forward. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. I hope we're not a little resistance group. The city government at least appreciates that we do this. So we like them for it. I had one thought while we were talking just now about fish. I happen to know Joel Bader, who's the head ichthyologist of the whole country, and he is from Connecticut, and perhaps he would come and talk to us about some of these issues about, you know, what's in the oysters and how safe is the fish to eat and how do we protect the fish. So we could invite him to a future meeting if you are interested in that. He's a very nice man. I know him. So
that's great.
Yeah.
And what Massachusetts and Rhode Island have been doing a lot of work with the fisher, but having been through this since I've been a legislator, you're talking about a whole way of life. And when people are terrified that you're going to limit their catches or so forth, it's a really deep hit. So figuring out how to find common ground is really, really important.
Yes. Yes, it is. Thank you, Pat. Iris, you want to say something else? No. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for that very important update and for everything you did to get bills passed. And I know that the bill about home energy affordability for renters was not in the Environment Committee, but it is a very important bill because we want renters to have their fair share of everything. So Kathy Fay is a big advocate for that bill and will continue to help work on it, as will the rest of us. And we will see you in the next legislative session. And thank you. Thank you very,
thank
very
you.
Much.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay. I don't know if I properly introduced Alder Adam Marchand, who joined us a while ago. He is here with us. So, Adam, you missed our thanks to the city plan commissioners who worked so hard on the Wheeler Street issue, as well as many other issues. But we gave lots of thanks to you, and we appreciate your hard work. So just know that we are thinking about you, and I hope your ears were burning while we were talking about you and your fellow commissioners.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. perhaps you're going to join us at the leaf blower hearing tomorrow. Well, anyway,
I may. We'll see.
Okay. You can sit in the back and hide. You don't have to testify. We just want you to hear what's going on. And I know you have meetings every day and you don't need another one. But anyway, as you know, we have many people passionate about leaf blowers here. So, okay. So I think, let's see, the last update on a pending city issue I have to relate is a list of sustainable garden, lawn and garden care items for new buildings. And I sent it around to the Environmental Advisory Council members before the meeting. And I hope if anybody didn't get to read it, if I could, I don't know how to share my screen. If I, I can bring the letter up here, or I don't even know how to put it in the chat, but Dawn, if I email it to you right now, can you share it?
That share screen button on the bottom? I had to enable it, but I think you should be able to do it now. You see that green arrow on the bottom?
Yeah. Okay.
Hang on. Let me document see. Open on your screen somewhere.
I will open it.
When you click that, it gives you a bunch of options for whatever you have open on your computer, okay. And you should be able to click it.
Okay, thanks. Sorry. And hello, Giovanni Zinn. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Okay, so now it's open. I have lots of stuff on my screen, but this is front and center. So,
coming. So you push the green button, the green share screen.
Okay.
And then does it bring up a bunch of windows that you could select?
Yes.
And is one of them the document you want to share?
Yes.
Okay, click that and click share on the bottom right.
Uh-huh. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So I would like to take a vote on this. I think we just have a quorum because we have six commissioners in total. And let's see, Iris, Kathy, Floristein and I are here, and so is Alder Steve Winter. So everyone just take a quick read of this letter, and then we can vote. Anyone have any comments before we start? I can't see everybody's boxes. So if you have a comment, let me know.
I do.
Yeah.
So I'm just noticing number four about storing rainwater and using it to irrigate and wash outdoor areas. I think that's a good recommendation. I just wonder we have MS4 regulations in place, and that might contradict what they say. And I would like maybe for Dawn to comment on that.
Yeah, just looking at that one, we haven't ordinance already, Section 60 Stormwater Management Plan. And so they are required to capture and, you know, infiltrate the first inch of water on their site. So they're not required to reuse it to irrigate plants. That would be complicated anyway, to only irrigate in one season. I think the infiltration and recharging groundwater, I think it's a good ordinance. And I think it already requires developers to really manage stormwater on their site. So maybe that one isn't necessary.
Okay.
I had a question on that. I just put a comment. How? I was wondering how that was going to be done, but Dawn did answer.
Okay.
Okay. So now that we fixed that, is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for clarifying that. I'm sorry I'm not in on all the ins and outs of rainwater collection at buildings.
These are recommendations though, right? Like they're,
that's right.
You know, I don't see an issue with including it as something above and beyond the, you know, capture and infiltration part. I think it'd be great if we had more buildings that were also utilizing, you know, rainwater to irrigate plants rather than pumping water that's been treated.
Well, I can see the perspective of the people who don't want to cloud the issue where there's an ordinance already. So let's stick to a few things we can recommend that aren't already part of ordinances and hope that in future we can expand this list or we can expand the ordinance, one or the other, if that works for you, Steve. I don't know. That's my thought. Anybody else? Mary.
I wondered if you wanted to have something about retaining existing trees. You talk about planting, but, you know, in terms of carbon sequestration and so forth, to, you know, retain the tree, what's already there seems like a good idea.
Okay.
So that can be incorporated into number one, because that is an LIB practice.
Okay. How about remove as few trees?
I would put it as positive, like retain.
Yeah,
existing trees
retain
as possible,
as many existing trees as possible. And okay, how's that better? Thank you for doing this with me. I apologize for not doing it before, but anyway, is that okay? That look okay to everyone? All right, so Kathy, Florestine, Iris, Steve, tell me, can each of you tell me if you approve of this letter?
I approve of it. Both of you accept it. We didn't make a motion, but no problem.
I approve too. It's Iris.
Steve's also in favor.
And Kathy's in favor with these changes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, great. And I approve of it too. Good. Okay. Let's see. What's the next thing on our agenda before I stop the screen sharing? Let's see. Oh, ARP funds to fund the City Office of Sustainability. So Alder Winter informs me that on the 16th of this month, the Board of Alders as a whole will be voting on American Rescue Plan funds to fund two staff positions for a new City Office of Sustainability.
Just to clarify, Laura, we may not vote then, but the hearing that we had a hearing and then we will, I think, be hearing from city staff on the 13th, and Alder Marchand might be able to tell us if there's more than that on the 13th, but the process is continuing. I don't think we'll vote then. Is that accurate, Adam?
Yes, it's true. So the mayor has proposed $53 million allocation of ARPA funds, including the monies that you're mentioning, Laura.
Yeah.
There was a initial public hearing on that allocation back in April. And we said then that we would continue the public hearing. What's going to happen on Monday the 13th is a workshop where members of the committee are going to ask the administration for more information and more details about the plans for these monies, including the money for these positions that you mentioned. And then there'll be another public hearing, most likely the second Monday of July. And that's the time at which the committee will vote on the allocation, and then it'll go to the full Board of Alders for a vote after that. So that's the time frame. So people are welcome to come to the workshop on Monday the 13th. There's no public testimony at that particular meeting, but if for people who want to hear more details about the administration's plans for all these funds, that's when you would want to come.
Okay, so now can you see the letter, or at least part of the letter that I'm sharing about these funds. I can, I made some suggested changes after Steve and Kathy and Iris Steve and Kathy suggested a couple of things. And if this letter looks okay to you, I would like to submit it to the Board of Alders as testimony. So Adam, this is the whole Board of Alders, or this is still a committee?
The item is still in committee. There's nothing prohibiting you from writing the president of the board. You could also, send this as an attachment to an email and email it to her, but also email it to publictestimony@newhavencity.gov, and it'll come to the members of the committee as well.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. Okay. Iris, Florestine, Kathy, Steve, what do you think of this letter? Is it okay?
I read it before. Can you just scroll down so we'll see the five? Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry. It's my first screen sharing ever. I hope you like that I'm learning technology a little late.
You're doing great.
Yeah, I did read the letter. I read it a little quickly because I'd been on the phone almost most of the afternoon. But I specifically like number five as expected. And, the letter in general, you're right. Your letters are well written. I've always said that.
Thank you. Kathy, did you like number five that I added after you suggested it?
I did. I think that's sufficient. And the main thing is we want to kind of draw attention to the fact that we have worked on a broad range of issues. I mean, there's plenty more that we could say about energy, but that I think that is general enough to cover most of the things that we have recommended and discussed. I think the main thing is to really make sure that it's clear that I don't know the format. See, when you screen share it, it's in normal text, but when I receive this, it's all bolded and in this odd font. But I think it would be helpful in the very beginning to just bold that first sentence about funding this staff position, so that really pops out, because that's our ask.
Okay, will do.
Yeah, I like the last paragraph of the first page. It is time for the city to open an office specifically to help with work that EAC and others have been doing for years. It feels like, I feel like we're the enemy when we have to fight with local people about leaf blowers and things that are so common sense. It would be nice if we had an office, because we're not the enemy. So I think the letter is good. So.
Thank you. Mary, I see you have your hand raised.
I wanted to mention gas-powered leaf blowers. You just say leaf blowers in general, and I think you're losing half the battle there if you say that it's all leaf blowers and not just gas-powered leaf blowers.
I don't know. Electric leaf blowers are pretty loud, but okay. I will put gas-powered. Yes, Kathy?
And toward the end, it's the second to last paragraph where you say, to residents who want New Haven to take advantage of every sustainability funding possibility. I think that should also be in that initial ask or somewhere, like, not the whole sentence, but the fact that besides asking for help from these staff people, for ourselves and others, we also really want them to look for, to have the capacity. There's so much funding out there. And I know the letter has mention that, but I don't think that that's obvious enough about the every sustainability funding possibility.
Okay, I moved it to the third paragraph from the top. Is that better?
I can't see it. Let me just look on. I have to look on my other screen.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Well, we can. I don't mind rearranging the paragraphs later if the text meets with your approval. So, Iris, does it meet with your approval?
I approve.
Florestine, does it meet with your approval?
It does.
Kathy?
Well, yes, except I'm still not, I think where you moved it. See, that paragraph is about the EAC. I think we need to be just a little more clear that we want the Office of Sustainability staff to be pursuing every sustainability funding possibility.
Okay, I will make it the second paragraph. How about that? Is that better?
No, what I'm trying to say, I'm sorry.
Where do you want it? Just tell me where you want it. Because you know what? I took a lot of time writing this letter. You didn't help me. If the point is to get a letter to the Board of Alders, it doesn't really matter what's in it or what.
I'm sorry, Laura. What I'm trying to say is right now, that sentence, that whole paragraph that you've been moving around,
yeah,
it's only the last words. To take advantage of every it's only, you know, for New Haven to take advantage, just those last words need to be put together with the staff positions.
Okay, I guess we are going to, Kathy, you can rewrite it and we will. We have generally approved this letter, and I'm guessing a few little zhuzhes are not going to make a huge difference. So, Kathy, we will let you work on it. And between now and sometime before the 16th, if you get it to your satisfaction and share it with all of us, we can submit it, okay?
I'm going to send it to you right now. I'll work on the one that I have on my other screen and I'll send it to you right away. It's not okay. Going to take but a minute. I'm sorry. I just couldn't explain it. And okay. I saw that you had mentioned it already, but on closer reading, I saw that it wasn't strong enough.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your indulgence, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Okay. Sorry to hold everybody up. Okay. So, the people from Quiet Communities asked us to write the same letter that we already wrote to the director of the EPA to a deputy director who's a new, I think he's the principal deputy assistant administrator in the Office of Air and Radiation, and he's just going through Senate approval this week to be the deputy assistant administrator or something to not be an acting whatever he is. So this is a very short letter and I'm going to try and share this one if I can figure out, let's see, new share. Okay, hang on. And I'm sorry to bore everybody with all this stuff. Apparently this guy has a law degree and an undergraduate degree from Yale. So I'm hoping that he will take a letter from New Haven seriously and get back to us, unlike the director who did not get back to us. I understand the man's busy and we're just one entity that wrote him a letter, but if everybody likes this letter, then we will send it. Kathy's got thumbs up. Iris, do you like it? Great, you have thumbs up. Florestine, what do you think?
Yeah. I accept.
Okay. Steve, okay with you?
Yes.
Steve, Great. Thank you. I'm so sorry to have to keep polling everybody, but here we go. All right. Last letter. Let's see. Rosa I have to find
Rosa DeLauro.
Yes, Rosa DeLauro. So there is a bill in Congress that was introduced by New York Congresswoman Grace Meng to on the same issue to fund the office, the noise abatement office. And this is a very short letter. And thank you, Iris, for finding my typo. I hope it meets with your approval, everybody. Iris, okay with you?
Can you make it a little smaller?
I approve the letter.
Thanks. Okay, so wait. So, oh, did I already go through? I'm confused. All right. So there's one for the deputy director of the EPA. Everyone approved that, right?
Right.
And now the one for Rosa DeLauro. So Iris approves it. Florestine, do you approve it?
Yeah, I didn't get to read all of it, but it's quick. Yeah.
I copied the text from the official documents. I'm going to read it to you fast so you'll hear it. The New Haven Environmental Advisory Council's oh no, that's the wrong one. Sorry, I did not put Rosa DeLauro's up here yet, did I? Sorry.
No, it's up there. It's just zoomed in, so we can't see the whole letter. If you just zoom out a little bit, we'd be able, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the letter.
Okay. The New Haven Environmental Advisory Council urges you to join Representative Grace Meng and 40 more of your fellow representatives. This doesn't sound good. I have to fix it. And 40 other representatives, other congressmen, people. 40 others. How about 40 others? And co-sponsoring HR 4892, Quiet Communities Act of 2021. Pursuant to the Clean Air Act, the Noise Control Act of 1972, and the Quiet Communities Act of 1978, the Environmental Protection Agency established and maintained an Office of Noise Abatement and Control, which has not received funding since 1982. This bill would require the Environmental Protection Agency to reestablish an Office of Noise Abatement and Control to promote the development of local noise control programs, carry out research, and develop and disseminate educational materials, among other duties. Noise is a major public health threat, one we need to mitigate. Thank you for your consideration and for representing us so admirably in Congress. Is that okay with everybody?
Iris? I don't have any complaints. I accept it.
Great. Steve, is it okay with
yes.
you? Great.
Good with me.
Great. Okay. And Kathy, you're fixing the other letter? Fine. I will stop sharing these letters. Thank you very, very much for your indulgence. I apologize for taking so much of your time to do this. Hello, hello, hello. Our junior member has joined us. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for coming. We're waiting till you're old enough to be a regular member, but we can wait.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Somebody said there's a typo in the word sustainability in the title. I'll fix that. Jacob, thank you for reading the letter. I appreciate that.
I didn't see it. I must be missing it. Where is it?
Okay. So let's go on while Kathy's working on the letter. Let's see. What else have we got? Car radio noise, I don't know what to do about. Someone brought it up. Whenever somebody can think of what we can do about it, I'm happy to bring it up again. Mobile dog grooming. I don't know if any, oh, someone's on the phone. Hi, welcome, who's ever on the phone.
Doreen Abubakar is on the phone.
Oh, hi, nice to see you, Doreen. Thanks for joining us. And belated congratulations on your Lifetime Achievement Award from the Audubon Society. I know we didn't have an opportunity to congratulate you because you weren't at the last meeting, but congratulations on that. That's wonderful. Doreen is our newest already confirmed member of the Environmental Advisory Council. Okay. So onward. So mobile dog grooming. I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but my next door neighbor has a mobile dog groomer called the Dog Father come and sit in her driveway, idling his engine and washing her dogs, and it's very noisy, and the soapy water goes out into the storm drain, into the gutter, and it disturbs me a lot. And I don't know, I think I emailed Rafael Ramos about this.
Soapy water is going into the storm drain?
Well, it's going into the gutter, so yeah.
Okay, that's not allowed by our MS4 permit.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So it's called the Dog Father.
Okay.
And yeah, so I don't know what we do about it. Do I call LCI? Do you deal with it? Who does
it? Oh, yeah. I think our department will deal with it.
Okay. The Dog Father. I can get you their phone number, but they're easy to find. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Iris?
Yeah, I have a neighbor that uses them. It's less noisy than the leaf blowers, but I guess the pollution could be as high because it, and I think isn't there an ordinance for idling? I didn't think of that ever. I didn't think of that.
Yes, there's a 3-minute state statute about idling.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But I like the company's name.
Me too. But, you know, maybe they should go into the people's houses and do the grooming. I understand in the pandemic that wasn't possible, but okay, it is now. So Dawn, I'm putting you down for figuring that out. There is a tank farm owned by Gulf Oil down in the port. Is Sally still here? You are still here. And I know a group of people got together and there was a meeting with DEP, and they decided on a list of, they were negotiating some things about the tank farm. So I think it was Chris Ozick and some other people, and Chris seemed satisfied with the compromise they came up with. Sally, do you know anything about this, or is it out of your purview?
I'm unmuted, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I do know something about it. I know that what they were working on, I was actually going to make a call to my contact tomorrow to find out how it had been resolved. So I'm sorry, I didn't know it would come up today. Otherwise, I would have tried calling yesterday.
Okay, it's down on the agenda here at the bottom.
Yeah, Yeah.
It's okay. You know what? As long as someone's monitoring this, as you see, we have so many issues that have been raised, it's impossible to keep track of all of them. Alder Winter, I see you there. Do you know anything about this issue?
I don't.
Okay, fine. So
what I do know is that it is for, it's called a new source review air permit, but it's not actually for a new source. It's the original permit. Is the original permit for any kind of a source is called a new source review permit. And the company discovered that there was an error made 20 years, however many years ago, when the first permit was issued. So they're actually going and redoing that permit. So while it sounds like they're building a tank, because somebody called me up and said months ago and said, are they building a tank? I said, I haven't seen any signs of it and wasn't confirmed. So it's actually not a new source, even though it's a new source review permit.
Okay.
And so Chris, I know, had been in contact with the company. I'd heard when you said his name, I recognized it. And I put them in touch with Rafael Ramos, and so that they could proceed. And I was going to find out for myself tomorrow what the option was, what option was chosen.
But okay, so on May the 4th, Chris Ozick emailed me, we are in negotiation. It's called the Buckeye PT Terminal. Okay,
yep.
So he emailed, we are in negotiation, asking for public signage with company phone number, state number, and city number in public-facing areas. Road and water, smell something, say something. Applicant has agreed to stricter than normal emission permit, 98% capture versus 95%, and covers when cleaning. So that is what they agreed to.
So far. Yeah, I know that Rafael Ramos is going to be the city contact.
Great.
So I did that bit of legwork. I was asked to help with that by Buckeye, and that's what I did.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for helping with that. It sounds like everybody has come to a good agreement about it. Wonderful. Okay. And so I guess what we take from this is that people feel that it's very, very important to have publicly posted phone numbers of people who can be called in event of there being a problem. And, you know, you don't want to have to go into the office of the company. You want it somewhere where everyone can see it from the street so that we can have contact numbers. So great. If Rafael Ramos's number at the health department will be posted, that would be fantastic. Thank you. Okay. There's that. We discussed the NIPS already. I would like at some point to request the Board of Alders to hold a hearing on pesticides and artificial turf. But I think, I don't know, Iris is shaking, is nodding her head. Yes. Okay. I will work on writing a letter. Kathy, what do you think about asking the Board of Alders to hold such a hearing? Are you in favor of that? Can't hear you, you're muted.
Sorry, I'm okay with that.
Okay, Floristine, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's actually necessary. I mean, people are always right. on a roll about pesticides and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, yes, some are, but I think it would definitely educate the public and to hear other people, hear the neighbors and hear what everybody has to say.
Thank you. Doreen, what do you think?
Yeah, okay. I agree.
Great, thanks. And Alder Winter, what do you think?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think it's a good idea, but I'd want to also know what is our goal? What's the outcome we're seeking? Is it awareness or is it a legislative? Okay.
It is awareness. The city already passed a ban on pesticides. And even though it's not enforceable, we do want everyone to know about it. And no one seems to have gotten the message. So yes, I think, you know, we passed the ban in 2017. It's 5 years later and we need to get it in the press again. So good question though. Thank you for asking that question. All right. Let's see, we discussed NIPS. We discussed extended producer responsibility for packaging. I happened to go to the official opening of the Obama School, which is an elementary school located on the grounds of Southern Connecticut State University. And this is a school for young kids where pesticides are prohibited. SCSU uses a lot of pesticides on their property, and they do not have to report the list of pesticides to DEP, but I think they have to give them to us if we ask for them. So I have asked, and if they make me fill out a Freedom of Information form, I will fill one out. But I think it's very important for us to know what pesticides are being used on the property, because even though they're not being used perhaps right at the elementary school, there's a commuter lot for the university across the street from the school, and pesticides drift. And the kids from the elementary school visit facilities on the SCSU campus proper, including the library. And we do not want kids near pesticides. So I'm hoping we can convince SCSU to plant clover or something instead of applying pesticides to maintain their property. Anyway, that's what I have to say about that. If anybody else has anything to comment about that, I'm happy to hear it.
Well, they're also neighbors to, you know, Beaver Ponds Park and Cherry Inn Park and very close to King Robinson School.
You're right. They are. Good points. Thank you. I mean, we know that people are not supposed to be using pesticides next to water, and they are doing it anyway. Golf courses all the time, towns, I recently went to DEP and got a hold of pesticide application records from some municipalities, and it's not pretty. New Haven, I don't know why New Haven Parks is using pesticides. I know some of them went in the Party Rose Garden, but it's really, they need to stop this. Anyway, we will have a whole public hearing about pesticides and artificial turf. Yes, we will request a hearing and get it. So the next thing, there is an EPA electric school bus rebate program, and I have been notified by many people about it, by Edith Pastana, I got a letter from a Yale doctor named Jessica Feinlein. So I spoke to the guy who's in charge of transportation at New Haven Public Schools, who informs me that one, New Haven does not own any school buses. Two, all the school buses used to transport students in New Haven are 7 years old or newer. And this rebate program involves vehicles. What I did